with us today. And as we take a look at what your word has to say, open our hearts, open our minds to receive it. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, I struggle with, I can't say I have a lot of fears in life, but I do struggle with some. I struggle with heights specifically. And I haven't always known that to be a fear of mine. When I was younger, I used to climb trees and climb on the house roof and all sorts of stuff. You know, I thought I was okay with heights. And then my wife has really recently gotten into doing this rock wall climbing. And so I have learned recently that I have an issue with high heights in rock wall climbing. I start to get up there, and I'm climbing, and suddenly start thinking, will this hold? You know, if I go up a little higher and I slip, will the line hold? Will it bring me down safely, or am I going to plummet to my doom? And I start thinking these things as I'm climbing. I'm finding more and more that I struggle with heights. I don't know if that's a bad thing, and I do try to overcome it. My wife, like, well, just keep working on it. Well, I do. I keep on working on it. I keep working on it, and I just keep working on it. I think anything can be overcome if we put enough effort into it. And so I do think that eventually I'll overcome this height issue. I'll keep working on it. I don't know about that either. But there are other fears. I don't struggle with public speaking. I'm okay being up front and delivering a message to you guys and telling you what's on my heart, on my mind. I might think about it afterwards and go, why did I say that? But when I'm up front and talking, I don't have a problem. And ever since I was little, my family has had me, and up front we would do like what we're doing today. We're singing, and I was part of the family singing. And when I was younger, I always was okay. I was just okay with being up front and delivering. But, you know, public speaking happens to be one of the number one fears that people have. And so while I might be afraid of heights and not afraid of public speaking, you might be afraid to be up front and deliver a message and talk about what's on your heart and what the Word of God says because you're afraid of public speaking. I don't know. But it takes boldness, it takes courage to get up front in front of people and deliver what you feel like God is telling you to deliver. That takes boldness. It takes courage to be bold. Today we're going to talk a little bit about boldness, the foundation for boldness. And there are some reasons for boldness. One reason, of course, is prayer. The Bible talks about praying boldly, about being able to go to the Lord boldly in prayer and be able to have that faith and that courage that God wants to hear and wants to answer you. And so one of the ways that we can be bold is bold praying. Praying boldly, going to the throne of the Lord. Another way that we need to be bold, of course, is sharing our faith. We need to be bold, courageous to take that step and to go out into the community and to share our faith with others or to our own family members, our own friends, whoever it is that we feel that God has put in our heart to share our faith with, to be able to do that. And that takes courage. That takes boldness to be able to step out and do that because we don't know how they're going to react. They might be upset with us or they might receive it gladly. We just don't know. Just like, I don't know if that thing's going to snap when I'm up there high. You know, it takes boldness. It takes courage being able to step out and do that. Another reason we could want or need boldness is standing in our own convictions. Last week I preached to fathers and to men and to everyone about having those convictions and standing in those convictions. No matter what anybody around you is doing or saying or thinking, that you know what you believe and you stand on what you believe. Having the courage, in spite of what's going on around you, having that boldness to stand in your conviction. We need boldness. And so today I'm going to talk with you about boldness. I'm going to talk with you about laying that foundation for boldness. In our text today, we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 4, Hebrews the 4th chapter. And we begin to look here in Hebrews the 4th chapter, Hebrews begins to talk about how Jesus came down from heaven. He was, of course, in heaven with the Father, part of that deity, and he comes down from heaven, and then we see he dies, he resurrects from the dead, because for our sins, that we can have eternal life, that we can have that existence with God. have that salvation that comes through that act that Jesus did. And then he goes back into heaven, becomes him, and he goes back into heaven as our high priest. As our high priest. And here's what we pick up in verse 14. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, so a high priest. He's our great high priest. Not just a high priest, but a great high priest. Now, a priest, of course, is one that kind of stands between man and God. In the Old Testament, you read about priests, and they would sacrifice the animals. They were the ones that stood between man and God and made a way, made it possible for man to kind of have a relationship with God in spite of their sins. And here Jesus is our great high priest. He died on the cross and went into heaven. He made a way. Now, he only died once. He's that one-time sacrifice. But he is the way, the only way, to God, to our Heavenly Father, to have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. He is our great high priest, the one that stands between us and God. And it says, who has entered into heaven. And so he came. He died. He rose from the dead. But he didn't just stay here. He didn't just live out his life here. It says he entered into heaven. He rose into the clouds, and he entered into heaven. He is alive. He is not dead. And it says, since we have this great high priest who's entered into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. Another version of the Bible says, our confession. Hold firmly to our confession. What you believe, or what you are saying you believe. We're to hold firmly to this. Grab a hold of it and don't let go of it. To stand firm in this conviction that we have in Jesus Christ. To not be moved, no matter what comes our way, no matter what blows against us, we're not moved in this conviction, in this faith that we have in Jesus. We're laying a foundation for boldness. Number one, become convinced of Jesus. If you want to build a foundation of boldness in your life, you need to become convinced of who Jesus is, who he is in your own life, in your own heart, the reality of who Jesus is. And Jesus is real. There's no denying that in my mind, in my heart, I know for a fact Jesus is real. He came. He existed. And he is not only did he come and exist, but he is alive. He is reigning on high. He is alive forevermore. And he is the author of our faith. It is through Jesus that we have salvation. It is through Jesus we are born again, that we have eternal life, that we have, that we will not end up in the lake of fire destroyed, but we will live forever with Jesus. He is the author of our faith. History shows, talking about the reality of Jesus, history shows that Jesus is real. You can go through historical documents and see that Jesus was a very real person. We have a Roman historian named Tacitus reporting on Emperor Nero's decision to blame the Christians for the fire that had destroyed Rome in AD 64, so he reports on this. This is not a Christian or even a Jewish historian. This is a secular, a Roman historian, and he writes this. Nero fastened the guilt on a class hated for their abomination of Christians by the populace. Christus, that's what they were referring to, from whom the name had its origin, so it's like he's referring to Jesus, to Christ, Christus, suffered the extreme penalty during the reign of Tiberius at the hands of Pontius Pilate. And a most mischievous superstition, thus checked for the moment, again broke out not only in Judea, the first source for the evil, but even in Rome. He's calling Christianity evil and superstitious. But the point is, here we have a Roman historian very early on identifying that this Jesus, who we believe in, was a real person. I can point to numerous documents, historical documents, that show Jesus, Christians, even early on, were very real. Science and philosophy, of course, prove to me that God exists and God is real. One of my favorites is that life comes from life. It's one of my favorite arguments, but there is a cosmological argument talking about where creation and all that came from, but it says this: whatever begins to exist has a cause of its existence. The universe began to exist, therefore the universe has a cause of existence. That's a very old argument, and the point is the universe has a cause. We can identify that cause as God. The one that really convinces me, hopefully convinces you as well, is that life comes from life. That you can't create life in a laboratory. There's no way that scientists can reproduce life. They can take what exists already, life that exists already, and they can kind of clone it or reproduce it that way, but they cannot actually create life in a laboratory. There's just no way. They don't know where life comes from. Life comes from the origin, the source of life, and that is God. T.S. Dobonsky, he's an atheist biologist, wrote this. He calls the origin of life miraculous. An atheist biologist calls the origin of life miraculous. Why? Because life comes from the author, the source of life, God. Jesus is real. I don't even doubt it even for a moment. Jesus is real. He really came, and he really is alive. History shows it. Science and philosophy can prove it. Jesus came. The first way to lay the foundation of boldness is to become convinced in your own heart and in your own mind that Jesus is real, and he's really alive, and he really came to die for you. Not only to be convinced, but then we need to stay convinced. We need to stay convinced in our faith. We need to do things that help us to continue to stay convinced in our faith. For example, sticking around with believing believers. Getting around people like we're here today. This is why it's good not to avoid church. Getting around believing believers who are able to lift you up and build your faith and encourage you in your faith. You need to be around other believers who are encouraging you and telling you, yes, this Jesus person you believe in, yes, he's real, yes, he came, yes, he died for you, yes, he rose from the dead, and yes, you can be born again through Jesus. We need to stick around believing believers. Another way, you need to read articles that lift up your faith, like some Answers in Genesis. I love Answers in Genesis. What a great source of articles talking about science and how science proves the Bible. We need to read articles like that that build up our faith and lift up our faith to that we will continue to maintain our conviction in Jesus Christ. And finally, we need to pray that the Holy Spirit, that God fills your heart with his Spirit, that you can have that relationship, that encounter with God, where you know in your own heart, yes, God is real. Yes, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. It's not enough just to save you. It's not enough just to speak the word, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I want you to know it. I want you to have an encounter with God where you know that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. That he has filled your heart to overflowing. That you are being changed and transformed from the inside out. You are a new creation, the Bible says. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. That's an experience. That's something you experience in God, not just saying the words, but you're having a transformation of your heart and your life. We need to be convinced of who Jesus is. And when you are convinced, it gives you boldness. It gives you boldness in your faith. It gives you boldness to live out God's word. Because if I believe he is who he says he is, then I am going to live this book out. I believe it, and I'm going to live according to it. It gives you boldness to hold to your conviction. You're not going to be swayed by what's coming. You're not going to be swayed when bad things happen because you know who Jesus is in your heart. You're not going to be swayed when people are telling you Jesus is not real because you know who he is in your heart. You are convinced of who Jesus is. It's kind of like a tornado. You know, tornadoes blow through. And we have spiritual tornadoes. Tornadoes will blow through, and trailer parks are the worst. Trailer parks, they are flimsy. I used to have a mobile home, so I know what I'm talking about here. They're made up, basically made up plastic. There's no wood. I found that out. I was digging into my mobile home one time, And I thought, okay, what's on the inside? And I'm working on it. And there's plastic framing on the inside of a mobile home. At least mine did. And so tornadoes will blow through a mobile home. They're not even barely tied down. They have a little bit of tie down on it. But they're just basically temporary homes. And they'll blow through there and devastate mobile home parks. Absolutely devastating. That happens to the spiritual world. Instead, we need to be built, solidly built, on the rock of Jesus Christ. We need to be absolutely convinced. When those spiritual tornadoes blow through, absolutely convinced that we Jesus is in our heart and in our mind. Become convinced. We're laying a foundation for boldness. Continue on to the verse 15. In verse 15, this high priest of ours understands our weakness. He understands. He gets it. He knows what you're going through. He was there with you. He knows what you're feeling, knows what you're experiencing, knows the problems that you have, knows what you're facing today, knows your doubts, knows what you're worried about. He understands our weaknesses. For he faced all of the same testing we do, yet he did not sin. Jesus went through it. He experienced humanity. He came as a man, was born, went through his childhood. He became a man and went through the temptations. He experienced what you're going through. You think you're facing temptations? Jesus went through it too. He knows the pain you're going through. He went through pain. He knows when you weep, he understands what it means to you. Jesus wept. Jesus laughed. Jesus felt joy. Jesus felt pain. He went through all of this. Yet as a man, Jesus was limited. Not limited in ability. As the Son of God, he could have done anything he wanted to. But as a man, he was limited. His ministry was short. He had 3 years in that ministry to do everything he was trying to do. And a part of that was dying on a cross for you. John chapter 14, verse 12 says this, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same work. Well, that's awesome right there. That just blows me away, that we can do the same work, that we can do what Jesus and the apostles were doing. He says, the same work I have done, and even greater work, because, why? Not because that he was limiting ability. Jesus far surpasses you and me, way greater than you and me. But because, he says, I'm going to be with the Father. He was limited in time. And so because of that, he passed on the ministry to the disciples, to the apostles. And they continued the ministry to the church. And of course, that same ministry has been passed on to us. We continue the ministry of the kingdom of God. We continue the ministry of the church. Jesus understands our weaknesses. He understands your weaknesses, what you're dealing with, your battles, your temptations that you face. He knows what your goals. Jesus knows. He knows your pain. He knows your frustrations. He knows your concerns. Give them to him. Don't hang on to them. Today may be the day you need to repent of them, to hand them over to them. He's ready. He knows what you're dealing with today. Today might be the day to surrender your sins, to surrender your frustrations, to surrender your pain over to Jesus. Lord, they're yours. I give them to you. And Jesus is ready and willing to forgive you of your sins if you hand them over to him. If you repent of them, say, Lord, I'm done with them. They're yours. But not just your sins. Whatever you're dealing with, your pains, your frustrations, your worries, cast, he says, cast your cares on me. He cares for you. He knows what you're going through. He knows your struggles. He knows what you're dealing with today. He knows your battles. He knows where you're hurting. Today is the day. Cast your cares on the Lord. If you say that people will gossip if I come to the altar, people will see me and they'll talk about me. Maybe. But Jesus is ready and waiting for you to cast your burdens on him today. He cares who sees you come to the altar. He cares if people are thinking. He's ready. And maybe not the altar. Maybe your prayer closet. He is ready today for you to surrender it all over to him. He knows exactly what you're dealing with. But you say, I'm not ready. It doesn't matter. Jesus is ready for you. He is waiting for you to give it to him. What if today is the last day you have to give it to him? When I was young, you know, it didn't matter. I was so hungry for God. It did not matter who was around. It didn't matter who was looking at me. I ran to the altar. I was so hungry for God. And because of that, because of my hunger, and it was my hunger for God that drove me, because I was so desperately hungry for God, God touched me as a result of it. He touched my heart. He touched my life as a direct result of me being that hungry for him. It is hunger that drove me. Hunger fuels revival. You want to see revival in the church today? Church, get hungry for him. Forget who's around you, but get hungry for God. Get hungry for righteousness. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. You shall be what? Anybody know the text? You shall be filled. Hunger and thirst after righteousness, and you shall be filled. You want to see a revival in the church? Begin to hunger and thirst for more of God. And don't care what people think. I used to sing a song. It was written by Matt Redman. It's called, I can't remember what it's called. But it goes like this. It goes, I will dance, I will sing, to be mad for my king. Nothing, Lord, is hindering this passion in my soul. And I'll become even more undignified than this. Some may say it's foolishness, but I'll become even more undignified than this. I used to sing this song, and that was my desperate cry, my cry for God. I don't care what people think. I don't care whether they're looking at me or even care what I'm doing. I'm hungry for God. And that's what drove the revival in my own heart. You want a revival in your heart? Get hungry for God. We need boldness. We need boldness to pray, because if we're talking about, when Divin might give up on you, you fix the game. My point number two, I skipped right over my point, I'm sorry guys. Number two, relate to Jesus. I blew right past my notes. I got so excited preaching to you guys. Relate to Jesus. Relate to Jesus. If you want to begin to lay a foundation for boldness, you need to relate to Jesus. And so that was my heart. We need boldness. We need boldness to pray, because if we're able to relate to Christ, If we have that experience with him, and we begin to become hungry and begin to have that experience with Christ, it will give us boldness, because we realize he's been there. He's gone through what we went through. He knows what we're experiencing. He knows what you're feeling. Take it to him. That should give you boldness to go to Christ, because he knows and he cares about what you're taking to him. We need boldness. We need boldness to share Jesus. If we are relating to Jesus, if we know that he knows what we're going through, and we can relate to him and what he went through, he knows what we're experiencing, then as we're sharing Jesus with others, we know that he cares about them too. Whatever they're suffering with, whatever your friends are going through, whatever they're dealing with, he cares about them. He loves them. And whatever they're going through, he's been there. He knows what they're going through. He can relate to you. He can relate to them. That should give us more boldness for sharing Jesus. We need boldness in our conviction. If we believe that Jesus understands what we're going through, we know that he went through this life. We know that he did it without, what does the Bible say? Without sin. Well, if he did it, we know that we can do it too. We should be able to have that boldness, that faith in Jesus, that, Lord, you went through it. I can relate to you. I understand you went through it. I can go through. I can begin to get rid of some of the sin in my life. I can begin to live for your word. It is possible. God wouldn't have commanded you to do it if it wasn't possible. be convinced, relate to Jesus. We're laying the foundation for boldness. And again, I apologize for blowing right through my main point there. Look at text number 16, the text verse 16. I'll remember that today. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. Let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. So again, he's declaring, come boldly. Jesus is saying, I went through it all for you. I am the high priest for you. And because I'm that, you can come boldly to me. Come boldly. Don't hesitate, but have the absolute faith that I am here for you. Come boldly to the throne. That word throne is talking about, it's talking about God's presence. It's talking about going to the place of prayer and knowing that God is there to hear and to answer you. His throne, where he is, the throne of our gracious God. Our gracious God. Here it identifies God as being a God of grace. He's a God that cares about you. He's a God that has grace and mercy to meet your needs. He says, there will we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it the most. We'll find that help. God is wanting to meet your needs and to help you. Why not take it to him? Number three, come to Jesus. We're building, laying a foundation for boldness. Number three, come to Jesus. The first step in coming to Jesus, is, of course, is salvation. Coming to him, repenting of your sins. Coming to Jesus who died for you and saying, Lord, I believe in you. I believe that you came and you died for me. I repent of my sins and I surrender my heart and my life over to you. You are my Lord. Becoming born again, experiencing eternal life through Jesus Christ, and having that salvation and coming boldly. Nothing should keep you back from that. If you have not made that commitment today, do it boldly. Don't wait. Go to him. There should be nothing holding you back. The second step is bold praying. Coming to Jesus means praying boldly. Believing that God wants to hear and answer your prayers. Having that faith in God. Believing that he is a God who hears you when you pray and is a God ready and willing to answer those prayers when you pray. Having that faith in God, that boldness to go to him. We don't go to God saying, God, I don't know if you can, I don't know if you're able. I would imagine God would rebuke and say, yes, I am. Yes, I'm able. Of course I can. Of course I can. Of course I'm able. Having the boldness to go to Jesus, having that faith that, yes, Lord, you do hear me, you do answer prayer. I believe in you. In Mark chapter 5, you know, the ruler of the synagogue, his name was Jairus, and his daughter had died. And he's coming to Jesus and talking to Jesus. And some of the people from his household came to Jairus and said, don't bother the teacher. Leave him alone. Don't mess with him. And Jesus overhears that. And he says to Jairus, don't be afraid. Just have faith. Modern English version says, only believe. Only believe. Just have faith. Have faith in God. God hears you when you pray. Have faith in God. He still is able. His arm has not been shortened. He can still reach out and meet the needs in your life. Friends, God's response to a praying church. John DeSagno, he's a pastor emeritus at this point, of like a 25,000 person church. He's been a pastor for many, many years. He wrote a book that I'm starting to fall in love with. And he says this in the book. He says, prayer moves the hand of God. No prayer means no power. Little prayer means little power. Much prayer means much power. Call on the Lord. Be a church of prayer. Prayer makes the difference. We need to be a church of prayer. We need to be a praying church. And having faith that God hears your prayer. We need a big vision. God wants to help. He is a gracious God willing to help you in your need. We need to expand our vision of how how God wants to help us. So often we get so narrow, and we get so focused on our own lives, and we think, this is it. But God is a big God, able to meet the needs in your life. And if we can expand our vision for God to help us, not only us, but others too. And when we begin to pray boldly, we can pray boldly not only for ourselves, but for others around us as well, because He doesn't just want to help you, He wants to help those that are around you as well. Praying boldly doesn't mean just praying for yourself boldly, but praying for those that are around you boldly as well. Another book I've been reading recently, written by a man named Matt Brown, it's called Awakening. He talks a lot about how our scope gets so narrow, and we start to think that we can start to get negative, like God is not moving because we don't personally see Him moving. God's not saving souls because we don't see a lot of souls being saved. And we get so narrow focused, and part of the emphasis of this book, I believe, is that God is moving around us in mighty ways that we don't even see because we don't open our eyes to it. We're so narrow focused to what's going on around us, we don't see what God's doing all around us in other countries and even in our own country. God is at work, and God is moving. He's bringing people to Christ, and He is doing powerful, powerful things if we just open and broaden our vision. We need to expand our vision for what God is doing, and if we can do that, expand our vision for how God wants to help us, we can join in that vision with both prayer and sharing our faith. If we can expand our vision for what God wants to do, it will add to our bold praying. We will pray more boldly about what God, not negatively. We won't be so pessimistic. We get so down because we don't see what God's doing. But we can begin to pray boldly and in faith of what God wants to do in our own church, in our own lives, in our own community. If we can join that vision with sharing our faith, we begin to build our faith of what God wants to do in the lives of those around us, and we begin to have that boldness with sharing our faith with those around us because we've expanded our vision of what God is doing, that God is at work. We can get so timid. We need boldness. We can get so timid with our faith. We can get so timid with our praying, and yet we need boldness. We need boldness in our praying. We need boldness in sharing Jesus. Jesus is ready, friend. Jesus is ready to help you and your friends. Perhaps you have a friend who's gotten pregnant recently. And she doesn't know what she wants to do. She's going to do. She doesn't know what she wants to do. She has no clue. God can and will help her. We need to begin praying boldly for her. Sharing Jesus boldly with her. Has she even considered the Lord in her life? Perhaps you have a friend who just became bankrupt. He has no clue what he's going to do at this point. He's financially desperate. You can begin to share Jesus in his life and begin praying for that guy. Praying boldly. God is ready to help him through that mess. Perhaps you have a friend whose car just broke down and has no clue how he's going to make the repairs and no clue what he's going to do. We can begin praying boldly for that individual. God is ready and willing to help your friend. He doesn't know what he's going to do, but God can help him. Perhaps you've tried to share Jesus with your friends. Perhaps you've done your very best to tell somebody about Jesus and they just won't hear it. Friends, we can continue to pray boldly for your friends because God wants them to know Jesus. Begin to pray boldly. Perhaps you've got a friend who's not living right. You've been worried about them. They're just living outside of God's will. Maybe they know about God, maybe they don't, but they just aren't living the way they are doing things they shouldn't be doing, and you're worried about them. You can begin to pray boldly. God wants to lead them out of that mess into a better life. We can begin to pray boldly for them. God is full of grace and mercy to help us and others in times of need. We need boldness. We need boldness. Boldness, there are many reasons for boldness. I've just listed a few, but there are so many reasons that we could want or need boldness. But the few that I listed, we need boldness for sharing our faith, to share our faith with others that are around us, to be able to do that boldly. We need boldness for praying, knowing that God hears and answers prayer to be able to go boldly, the Bible says, to the throne of grace. We need boldness for bold praying. We need boldness to stand firm in our convictions, to not be moved when the storms, when you've got that friend and you've got that neighbor that's trying to tell you that God's not real, we need boldness to stand in our convictions, in our faith, because we know that Christ is real, that he came, that he died for us, that we have eternal life in him. Friends, get convinced of who Jesus is, that Jesus came, that he is in your heart. Get convinced of who Jesus is. Number two, relate to him. Begin to see who Jesus is, that he identifies himself with you. He suffered through what you're suffering, and he knows exactly what you're going through right now. He knows what your friends are going through right now. And number three, come to him. Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, he said, and I will give you rest. Come to Jesus. Come to him through salvation. Come to him through prayer. Come to him boldly. Come to him today. Jesus is real. He's alive. He is the author of your faith. We need to become convinced of that in our hearts. Jesus knows what you're struggling with. He knows what you're going through. He knows what your friends are going through. Friends, and he's ready for you to take a chance. He's ready for you to go to the altar with it. He's ready for you to take it to your prayer closet. He's ready for you to surrender it to him and to be so boldly. Increase your vision of God helping your life. He's full of grace and full of mercy to help you in your every need. Increase your vision of what God is doing around you, because he is at work. Pray boldly. Share Jesus boldly and do it today. Start it now. Don't wait. Amen? So as worship team comes up, they told me they saved the peppy songs for last, and so before they begin this final song, I was going to have an altar call that's in the bulletin, but before we have this final song, I just want to encourage you to begin to look inside of yourself. If there is something, Jesus understands, he knows what you're going through, he relates to you. He knows your strength, he knows your burdens, he knows your frustrations. Take it boldly to him. And even as we sing this final song, I just want to encourage you to give it boldly to Jesus. And I'm gonna not have a necessarily an altar call, but unless you feel led to come to the altar, that's fine. But as we sing this closing song, take it boldly to him. He hears you. He loves it when you sing to him. Go boldly to the altar.